I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Y'all still want me to come with you?
Welcome to the Jillian Michaels Show. Janice is here.
I changed it. I changed it a little. You're not on the marquee today.
No, you just keep cutting me down.
Well, at least good. I included you.
Hey, I have a question to ask you. You were on some, I missed it, of course, because I miss a lot of your television appearances.
Oh.
But apparently a few weeks ago, you were on some fancy award show.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
What was that?
That was not part of my planned segment.
Oh,
God.
Well, no, if you don't want to talk about
I'll talk about myself.
I want to know because I just heard you were fancy, and I always liked, and I'm sorry I missed it because I do
fancy.
Like to watch you. I like to watch you teeter on your heels.
Well, and I did, and it got written up in the Hollywood Reporter, those bastards.
Really?
Well, yeah, it's kind of, I feel bad, though, because basically here's what happened. It was the daytime Emmys, right?
Oh, okay. That's
and cool. My bosses from the doctors are like, hey, you were nominated for 3 Emmys and Dr. Phil's nominated and his show is nominated and we'd really love it if you could be there. And, you know, they're so sweet, right? And meanwhile, I'm in the Middle East and I'd been doing a USO tour over there. So I'm in the Middle East and then I parted off to go take a little holiday and they're like, we really want you here. So 5 days later, I come back to go do the daytime Emmys thing. And everybody has a little sit down with me. And they're like, this is an award show. You cannot wear flip-flops. You cannot wear jeans with holes in them. You cannot wear a dirty t-shirt.
No.
So,
Emmys.
Right? I get the full, the sit down, the gentle talk, the whole thing. So I hire the appropriate people.
Yeah, you got to do that.
To glamorize me a little bit. And it sort of worked, but I feel like it's like you can take the girl out of the sneakers, but you can't take the sneakers out of the girl. So this like glam, this Oprah-esque style, like glam squad begins fast at work fixing me up and like, you know, turning this.
Yeah, but you clean up good. I have to admit. You do.
Well, yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they fix my hair. They fix my makeup.
Yeah.
They put me in this ball gown, which is really where it all went wrong. And it, you know, and it, and I feel so bad because this designer is like, he does this all these fancy dresses, and he's the nicest guy because they got to lend you the dress. The designers have to lend you the dress, and it's like, there's so, shut up.
Sorry, I just can't quite visualize the ball. I'm sorry. I'm going to let you finish.
Are you done? Do you want to hear or not?
No, I want to hear.
You want to hear
or not? People want to hear. Yeah, okay, I'm quiet now.
So they put me in this ball gown. Yeah. And the problem is it's got all this, like, ruching sort of structure and all this, like, netting or something that makes the bottom part fish out like a tail. Uh-huh. And I'm trying to be...
No, I'm here.
I'm trying to be serious about this. Yeah. So they fit this thing, and the stylist is, like, you know, nuts, and basically has kind of sewn me into this dress to the point that I feel like I'm starting to have a panic attack because I feel like my ribs are going to shatter with every breath, you know, that's even slightly deeper than shallow. And...
What was it, made of bone? What? The old style?
No, it was just some sort of, I don't know what. It was like wrapped around me and cinched together. So the problem is, though, everything was going fine, but whatever was underneath that thing, I kept stepping on it. So every time I would take a step, my heel would skewer the netting, and I would get stuck trying to walk.
Now you know how a tuna feels, stuck in the net. Okay, carry on.
Tuna?
Well, I'm just thinking you're stuck in your net, but that's your...
Yeah. I don't even think they catch tunas with nets, do they? Oh, maybe they do because they get those dolphins, those sons of guns.
That's right.
But I eat dolphin-safe tuna.
Me too.
Anyway, so, no, I didn't really feel like a tuna. I just felt really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So then, of course, because I have no filter whatsoever...
No, you lost
I
that.
Began engaging in a diet...
Okay.
We're going to move on. We're moving on. No, I'm not doing it anymore.
Just,
no.
Just tell me, were you able to?
No, I'm not going to.
No, you walked. No, okay, you walked out. Were you able to walk on this day? I'm just so sorry I missed it.
Well, I thought I was. But then what happened was, and here's where I feel so bad. They're like, all the Glam Squad is like, we're going to change the game with this. We're going to get you best dressed. You know, no one's going to think of you as just that trainer in a stinky gym anymore. And you know what I got? I got worse dressed. Because I couldn't walk.
You did not.
In like Hollywood Reporter. As like wardrobe blunder.
No.
Because I could not walk in the dress. Which I thought I did a superb job. And that I had hidden the entire thing. But apparently not. Because of all the things that happened during the Emmys. Like a 12-minute tribute to Oprah. Where she did not even show up for. Of all the things you could have commented on. The one thing they chose to cover was my, quote, wardrobe blunder.
I'm feeling very badly that I brought this up.
Good. I hope so. Because I innocently came in here trying to do a job today, Janice.
No, but people like to know. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to share the things that go wrong, even though yours was done on a very public level.
I decided to stop it. Because I have been so, I am always so transparent. And, you know, and it's like, and then I open myself up to people like you taking a shot, cheap shot.
I didn't know it went this deep. I always like to hear the stories of when you totter a little bit in the fancy clothes. And I didn't know that this had gone to this public of a level. And I deeply apologize. Maybe we should start the show now.
Fine. So what I wanted to talk about was how severe my PMS, sorry, son of Bruce Paul, my PMS was last night to the point that, like, I could not stop eating crap. Could not stop. Couldn't stop it. And with all of my education and all of my background and all of my expertise, I truly was incapable of stopping the binge on Paul Newman peanut butter Oreo thingamajiggers. Mm. And white chocolate. What is that? What's that about? And I made sandwiches out of it, like the little Oreo with a little square of white chocolate in there. It was awful. It went on. And I tried to walk away and I tried to brush my teeth. I did all these things. And quite frankly, nothing really worked. And I began trying all of these like random ridiculous tips that you pawn off on magazines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because you're like, okay, they're like, we need 5 tips for how to stop a binge. And I would say that I put the brakes on it at like, you know, 7 cookies, which normally I do maybe 2 a night. And I mean, I paid for it on the Stairmaster. Let me tell you, I just sat there and just flogged myself for a good hour. I just didn't get off and paid the price. But I think sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Sometimes it's just not stoppable. I did not find it stoppable. But as I was going through all my weird diet tricks, I thought maybe I'd share them on the show, even though they failed for the first 70% of the time. I got to the point where they started to actually work.
So this is an evening with Jillian, is what this is right
now. No, this was a tragedy, is what this was. This was an absolute fail on my part again, which I don't usually do. I can usually really kind of, you know, rein that in.
Well, I'm not going to go into the issues that might be behind it, but you go ahead with the tips. I think there's a tad.
Oh, God. Well, here's what I started with. I started with fruit because in theory, I'm like, I'll get the sugar from the fruit. And I was peeling things like a pomegranate. You know, it takes forever to get the seeds out of that sucker. So usually that works for me. Usually if I have to peel something or shell something. So start out, obviously, with snacks that are time consuming. The reality is that when you slow yourself down, hopefully you're giving that sugar a chance to hit your bloodstream, give yourself an opportunity to feel more satiated. So whether it's an orange or something like a pomegranate or a handful of pistachio nuts. And remember, pistachio nuts are extremely high in calories. So make sure that you portion them out with calorie control. That should slow you down. That should put a dent in. It should slow your roll a little bit. If that doesn't work.
Number two.
I started to put the Oreo things on a fancy plate because... No, hold on. There's a logic here. Because we tend not to think of these things as a meal. And we can graze or we can grab one. We can snack on it. But if you take time and you put it on your little plate and you sit down and you enjoy and acknowledge whatever it is that you're eating as an actual meal, consciously, you're going to take that in as, I ate this, it has calories. Because when we become mindless, which we'll talk about in a second, when we become mindless with our food, it doesn't really register. We're not really paying attention to the flavor. We're not savoring the treat, so to speak. It doesn't necessarily feel like we've sat down and had a, quote, dessert. Whereas you notice at a restaurant, when you eat a dessert, it comes on a fancy plate. Like, why not do that at home? So I sat down with my Oreos, and I started out with 3, thinking I was being indulgent on a fancy plate. And it worked... It worked for a little while. When I started to really struggle for the third go around now, because now I've had a pomegranate and 3 Oreos, and people are wondering why I'm giving them tips that fail. I've got to tell you that normally these things work. So the third go around, I start engaging myself in a dialogue. And now I'm actively having a conversation out loud with myself before dipping back into the bag of Paul Newman peanut butter Numinos. And the dogs are all sitting there just staring at me like I have 100% lost the plot. But I start having this dialogue with myself like, do you really want this, Jillian? Out loud, do you really want this? How are you going to feel if you eat it? What's going to happen? What are going to be the consequences? What are you going to do to make it right later? Well, I ended up telling myself that I would sit on the Stairmaster. So I pulled out 3 more Oreos and put them on my plate. But I did sit on the Stairmaster. Yeah. That was the solution that I came up with. That was the negotiation that I made. And I sat on the Stairmaster until I burned off every one of those 7 little Numino cookies. And but normally when I verbally engage...
Talk it through.
Right. Talk it through. And the idea here is that you are stopping and you're pausing. So you're not getting caught up in an impulsive cycle of emotional eating, bored eating, hormonal eating in this particular instance. And when you put the pause on, you put the brakes on, you're actually engaging a different part of your brain, the part of your brain that has the ability to reason instead of being impulsive or just reacting and responding. They you utilize two different parts of your brain, your frontal lobe and your amygdala. But without getting too technical, you can shift that impulsive part of your brain and start reasoning when you slow down and you start asking questions. So begin a dialogue. Yeah, no, for real. I swear to you, why am I justifying myself to you?
No, but it's because I like to say really to you, because I know it really pisses you off when you have to re-explain it. I don't do that on purpose. I do it for the sake of the people. I'm here for the people, not for you.
That's evident.
No, but I find that that's very interesting to me. That works.
Well, I wrote a whole chapter on it, a whole segment on it in Unlimited, and it's all about learning to kind of manage your impulsivity, to control your emotions, to think rationally versus impulsively, mm-hmm. because I am an impulsive person by nature, and it's a technique that I employ before making rash, impulsive decisions. You think it all the way through.
Right.
And it gives you the ability to really question the choice and manage that unconscious action of grabbing the cookies or whatever it might be, telling your boss to shove it. I mean, this is not just a technique that works with cookies. So then I did that. And like I said, I ended up coming up with a bargaining chip and I offered up an hour on the Stairmaster. So that didn't stop me. But I will say, here's another thing that really helps. Don't eat in front of the television. Or don't eat when you're listening to music. Don't eat standing up. Sit down. When you're experiencing this, sit down and do it quietly. Because a lot of times when you're watching television or when you're listening to music, you have a tendency to eat faster. You eat with the pace of the music.
Totally.
Or you're engaged in your television show and before you know it, the bag of popcorn is gone. The bag of chips has been totally demolished. The box of cookies, you've wiped out the entire thing.
You don't even remember what you ate.
Right.
You
and you're not enjoying it. Yeah. You're just mindlessly stuffing your face and you're absorbed in something else. So sit down and shut everything else off. Really savor it. Really think about what you're doing. If you're going to make that choice, enjoy it. Like, treat it, like I said, like it was a fine dessert. Serve it up on china. All of that. Sit down and don't allow yourself to become caught up in other things so that you just totally lose control. Yeah. And make sure that you're portioning it out. Because if you're sitting down with a box of cookies, you're really going to F yourself. But if you sit down with a portioned out amount and this is what you're allotted, it helps. And slow down, that also helps, because when you just scarf it, you don't even feel like you ate it. You don't enjoy it. And like I said, it takes the body a minute to register the sugar. Another thing that I'll do is I'll then begin a negotiation of, okay, now I'm going to walk away from this and I'm going to give myself 15, 20 minutes to let that sugar hit my bloodstream, to feel satiated, to feel full. And I'm not going to go back for another treat or another cookie or another anything for at least 15 minutes. And in between, I'm going to brush my teeth. And that generally helps, because the truth of the matter is you'll usually forget about it. You usually get caught up in going back on your computer, getting on your Facebook, answering your emails, watching your show, and you'll forget about the cookie obsession that you're having in the moment. Plus, if you brush your teeth, that taste of toothpaste doesn't really go with sugar.
It's the worst after trying to eat a cookie.
It's kind of gross. You're like, ugh. It's sort of, they don't really go hand in hand. So that also will 9 times out of 10 slow my roll. Although, again, not this time.
Oh.
So I did go back for a 7th cookie. And that sort of, then I managed to really, then I was like, okay, that's good. But the truth of the matter is I ran out of cookies. Which is also another tip that you should practice, environmental control. Because when you're really falling to pieces with it, you cannot eat what's not there. So don't try not to keep a bag of peanut butter Snickers in your house. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Those giant. Try not to keep. I say this because my friend Heidi has literally a bag of those in the house because she's as big as a toothpick and can eat as much as she wants, which makes me furious. But for someone like me, I would have a small portion of or a small candy bar, and that's it. I would pick it up on the way home. I would scoop it that day. I don't keep massive quantities of sugar in the house, because when all else fails, My lazy butt is not going to get in the car at midnight and drive 10 minutes to the convenience store. So ultimately, controlling your environment is going to catch you in that net when you cannot eat what is not there. So remember to plan ahead when these things, these techniques, for some reason are falling short on you. And another thing, when you're out and about, let's say that you're at a restaurant or you're at a coffee shop or whatever it might be, and you know, or the supermarket for that matter, start paying cash for things. Because when you recognize the value that you're spending, your hard-earned dollars on these crap foods, for the most part, it really does make you think. Because when we swipe our credit card, that's not real money. And on some level, you don't really think twice about how much you just spend until you get the bill at the end of the month, which is staggering. But the more cash, actually hard money that you're using to buy food, it makes you a lot more responsible about those food decisions, believe it or not. Because you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, am I really going to spend $4 on a Frappuccino or $5 on a Frappuccino, on a drink? It's crazy. By the way, a drink that's 500 calories and is going to cost you and medical, you know, healthcare down the road in some way, shape, or form. When you're spending real dollars on something, on your food, it's going to make you a lot more mindful.
That's why they changed in Vegas and all the casinos. They changed it. There's no more. You don't touch coins anymore. It's
yes.
all paper. It's paper, so it's mindless. You're absolutely
right. It's chips, right?
It's chips. Or now it's just paper. It's a chit. You stick the chit in and it comes up with the dollar amount.
Anyway, I had one more thing to say.
I know. You were saying about that would spend the money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And here's my last thought on this.
I'm going to be quiet now.
Is that I find one form of exercise, when I'm doing more yoga, I'm much less likely to go on a sugar binge. I think part of it is that yoga really puts you more in touch with your body. Whereas, quite honestly, when I'm on the cardio machines, I am on another planet. I'm doing anything and everything I can to not be thinking about that workout. Whether, yesterday I was reading a book on the Stairmaster, which I don't want to hear it. I can go on the Stairmaster at a level 7 and read a book. Yeah, it was not mindless, even though I tell you guys not to do that. I was literally on my Stairmaster reading a book. I will do my emails on the Stairmaster. I will watch television shows on the cardio. I mean, I will do anything to make the time pass on that damn machine. So, and then if I'm working out with a trainer, because I like to work out with trainers, you know, if I'm doing mixed martial arts with Crazy Trainer Steve, or if I'm doing kettlebells or something like that, I'm engaged with my trainer. I'm not really making that mind-body connection so much. Again, it helps me make the time pass. But there's something about yoga that you cannot allow yourself to be distracted. You have to think about your body position. You have to think about the poses. You have to focus on your breath. You think about the part of your body that's actually working. Yoga, in my opinion, is the most medicinal form of exercise because all of the various poses have a purpose. This pose fights depression. This pose helps detox the liver. This pose helps with digestion. It's a very fascinating form of exercise. And you can get hurt. Truth of the matter, you can get hurt. So you really need to be focusing on your body position. I think that yoga really helps make you conscious of your body, what you really want, what you're really craving, what you do and don't need, what you don't want to put into it. And it requires so much discipline because there are times in yoga when you have to hold a pose and I just start to unravel. You know, I'm like, I've got to get out of there. Oh my God, I'm dying. I feel like my thigh is going to explode or whatever it might be, whether you're holding a warrior pose or a crescent pose or a chair pose. That really builds my discipline up because I wax and wane with my discipline a little bit. And when I do more yoga, my discipline is much more solid. So yeah, that's my final thought on this matter is, yoga.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither by me as they make their way across the universe.
Okay, we're back. We're focused. Laser focused this time. And in this segment, I want to bring a little attention to prevention. Did you like how that flows good,
smooth
doesn't it?
Smooth as a baby.
What?
Nothing. I'm just over here working.
That's as weird as your tuna reference. Smooth as a baby. Did you want to say baby's bottom, which is kind of gross?
I'm not talking anymore.
Good.
I'm just gonna focus.
My God, you are way off kilter today. Anyway, I wanted to talk about arthritis. I know that seems, you think of it as, oh, it's my parents' disease, or I'm young. Doesn't that happen when I turn 70? The reality is that women in particular, not more so women, though, for some reason, are afflicted with this. Women in particular are developing this earlier and earlier on. They're starting to see 25-year-olds with signs of osteoarthritis. So the first thing you want to check for is a family background. We've talked about this. Know your medical background. Know what you need to be looking out for in your medical history. Chances are that if it runs in the family, you are more susceptible. So if somebody in your family has arthritis, be mindful. Pay close attention. If you're beginning to develop arthritis, if you have it in the family, here are two things that you should not do. There's a misconception. A lot of people confuse osteopenia or bone density issues with arthritis. They are not the same. So people think that high impact exercise will help arthritis, just like it would with bone density. But in fact, it's the exact opposite. High impact exercise for arthritis is actually harmful and can do more damage. Now, conversely, being totally sedentary is equally harmful, if not more so, than doing high impact. So your best bet is a low impact workout. And what that's going to do is keep your muscles strong. It's going to increase blood flow to the joints, which is also going to nourish the cartilage, because ultimately arthritis has a lot to do with the weakening of your muscles and the degradation.
Yeah,
the degradation of it. Thank you. Of your cartilage. So you want to make sure that you're sending as much nutrients as possible to the joints and to preserve your cartilage, because high impact can damage cartilage. But if you're not working out, then you're not going to be sending the blood flow. You're not going to be strengthening the muscles to support the joints. So think of exercises like cycling, walking, swimming, where you're not pounding on the joints, but you're still working out, keeping the blood flow going, getting your exercise in. Very important. Now, here are some alternative therapies that I actually know several people who really have struggled with arthritis. And back in the day when I owned a sports medicine facility, I had a physiatrist, which is a sports medicine doctor, a physical therapist, a chiropractor, all working within our sports medicine facility, and they would all treat arthritis in their varying ways. One would want to medicate it, and one would want to rehab it, and one, you know, all these different schools of thought, which I found fascinating. But I would always kind of step back and see what worked and what resonated more, and then they would guide me as a physical therapy aid at the time of what exercises I could do and what exercises I couldn't do. But what I really noticed is that yoga and Tai Chi made a huge difference. Once again, talking about the benefits of yoga.
Yeah.
But part of that reason is because you've got the body moving, you're working with body weight, which isn't adding any unnecessary pounding or impact. Because I personally don't really ever use weights. I really like to train with body weights. I'll use dumbbells in my hand to add resistance, and I'll go occasionally up to 20, but I will never sit down on a leg press. Just about never. I will always do body weight training, whether it's lunges or squats or wall sits.
But you didn't start, but you started with weight and evolved, right?
Years ago. Yeah, but I've found that body weight training, in my opinion, with free weights, I'll throw free weights in there, and I'll throw kettlebells in there, and I'll throw tubing in there, but very functional form of training with a body weight exercise. So for example, if I'm doing lunges, I might do a bicep curl and a lunge, but you're never going to see me sit down at a Cybex arm curl machine. Never going to happen. Never. And I don't even believe in those machines. I think that they train the body in a way that's not functional. They artificially isolate muscles. They train you on one plane of movement, and they don't require synergy. I'm a bodyweight girl. So I've for a long time been a huge proponent of, whether it's yoga or whether it's Pilates or whether it's Tai Chi, I like forms of exercise that utilize bodyweight training. But I noticed in doing Tai Chi or in doing yoga, there were huge improvements for the clients at the time that were struggling with arthritis. And even when I worked with contestants on Biggest Loser that were older that had arthritis, whenever I would employ those modalities with them, they did much, much better. Much better. And another thing that has really been shown to impact arthritis is acupuncture. Acupuncture has made a huge difference in people that I've worked with. And personally, I can speak to acupuncture, although I did not have arthritis. Years ago, I want to say maybe 4 years ago, I had a horseback riding injury, not off my beloved Buzz. This was off of another horse that I had been exercising for somebody, and got thrown off this horse, landed on my shoulder, and I was in agony. So I go to the best orthopedic guy in Los Angeles, right? Because I have access to that guy. Lucky me, because of what I do. I go see this guy. He does an MRI and he says, you've got a 50% tear in your infraspinatus. You've got blood in the joint and all, I don't know, all this stuff, a bone bruise. And this is 2 years later, because I had been like, I will beat this. So I hadn't beat it. Hadn't gotten anywhere. He basically says, we need to do surgery on this. I'm like, ugh, okay, what does that entail? You know, you slice into your shoulder, it's 6 months recovery. Oh, yeah. It's an agonizing surgery. And I'm thinking, like, I can't, this is not an option for me. I can't do that. My work schedule is not going to permit it. My career is not going to permit it. I can't do it. It's not an option. So I'm talking with Crazy Trainer Steve one day, who's Korean, and he is huge into herbs and acupuncture and this and that. And I'm like, Steve, don't give me the hocus pocus witchcraft right now. I'm upset. I got to do this surgery on my shoulder. And he's, you know, I really want you to see my guy. I really want you to see my acupuncture guy. And I'm just like, oh, this is fine. You know what? While we're at it, let's get a little voodoo doll and, you know, let's cast a spell, like whatever. So I go in to see this guy, Dr. So. And he starts jamming me with needles, which, by the way, is not the most comfortable thing in the world. I will tell you that within 3 sessions, my shoulder was 85% better.
And you were supposed to have surgery.
And they had said I had to have surgery, that it would not get better. Then I would say in maybe two months, gone. No problems ever since. Nothing. Fully healed. 100% use of that arm. So I don't know what it is. I got to be honest, I don't understand it. It's something that I would like to learn more about in the future. And they've got all these theories about meridians on the body and energy lines and this, that, the other. But if you are really struggling with joint pain, I have seen it work for clients. I've seen that acupuncture work wonders on my own body. And I'm a believer. But do, again, all doctors are not created equal, whether they're Eastern medicine doctors, Western doctors. Make sure that you get referrals. Make sure that the person you're going to is qualified, that they've been practicing for years. Talk to their patients. Make sure they're certified and all of that. Do your research on the doctor, just like you would your internist. But I have personally witnessed the positive effects of acupuncture, and I highly, highly recommend it. And remember, it's not only going to increase all of these low-impact forms of exercise are not only going to increase your strength, but in addition, they're going to help with your confidence. They're going to help improve your mood. And the reality is that when you start to feel pain, it has an effect on your brain chemistry. It makes you feel depressed. And the more depressed you are, the more susceptible you are to pain. And it becomes this vicious cycle, which is what a lot of fibromyalgia patients struggle with. So by employing these very zen forms of exercise, you help fight depression, you help lift your mood, you help your body become more pain tolerant, which helps, because these kinds of conditions, the more pain you feel, the worse they get, the more fragile you become, and so on. And here are some natural pain relievers, so you're not popping anti-inflammatories, over-the-counter anti-inflammatories that are really hard on your liver, really hard on your kidneys. Really, you know, the last thing you want to be doing is taking massive quantities of non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. I don't want to get sued, so you can insert the brand name there. I am so tired of that. So with that said, a natural supplement that I've seen do a lot of good for people is glucosamine mixed with chondroitin sulfate. You can also find it as MSM, glucosamine, chondroitin. A lot of people have said they've experienced a big difference with their joints, with their pain level from that supplement. It's something I recommend trying. It's quite honestly harmless. The only thing is the cost. Give it a month. Give it at least a month. 1 month to, you know, 4 to 8 weeks. I think you should notice a difference around 4 to 6 if it's going to happen for you. Got to give your body a chance for it to enter the system, build up in the body, start having an impact, making a difference. But that natural supplement has been shown to be very, very helpful. And some natural anti-inflammatories. Ginger is a really powerful anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, I've heard great stuff about ginger.
And cat's claw, which I know sounds strange, but I actually learned about cat's claw in the Peruvian rainforest. I'm a world traveler. Peruvian rainforest.
I wish you'd share more of your travels. Was that down at cat's claw? The cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little.
Okay, so cat's claw and ginger. And I'm thinking, why do you always mess it up right as I'm about to do a clean exit from the segment?
I don't know. I think I'm hindering you.
No, you really keep me on my toes. I'm ready for calls.
Okay, Julia is waiting for you on the line.
Hey, Julia.
Hey.
What's going on?
The question I have today is my 11-year-old son is, he's about 197 pounds, and I can't get the doctors to cooperate with us here on how to get the weight off of him and control his diet, and I was hoping Jillian could help us with some helpful hints on how to get him under control.
I don't think she knows that it's me yet.
Yeah. You're talking to her.
Yeah. Let me ask Jillian right now if she could help. Hey, Jillian. Yes. Can you help? I think maybe. I'm sorry, but okay. I don't even know what the I'll be honest. What do you think the doctors are going to tell you?
Well, I went to some doctors, and they told me, see, my son was in a accident in 2004, okay. And he had a traumatic brain injury, so they told me that the switch in his brain that tells him when he was full did not work. So we have tried controlling his portion size, and the weight has still increased. Like, in 2 months' time, he's gained, like, 15 pounds.
There's some sort of untruth to that. Unless they're talking about his ability to recognize leptin. Leptin is a hormone that tells you you're full. There's not really a switch in your brain. It's just really an ability to go, okay, the stomach expands, the body releases that hormone, and it should slow you down. But it doesn't necessarily slow everyone down. And people can become leptin resistant just like they can become insulin resistant. Simultaneously, you say that you're controlling his portions, but he's gaining 15 pounds. That's impossible. You cannot gain weight unless you have too much energy coming in. And food is nothing other than energy. A calorie is a unit of energy. So somewhere, somehow, he's getting more calories in than you are either aware of or you know, basically than you're aware of. So my first question is, how's he functioning now? Is he functioning like mentally? All, you know, are there issues, or is he getting it? Is he okay?
He's mainly okay, but like he's a little bit slower at learning things, like at school. He's a little bit slower, and he kind of learns things a little differently than the other kids do.
Okay.
Maybe not, you know, slower than they do, but just differently.
Okay, that's fine. Not that it wouldn't be fine either way, forgive me. But I'm thinking for my intents and purposes. So, can he play sports?
We actually had him in football, and he collapsed on the field. So the doctor said no more sports until he lost 20 pounds.
No. Oh, for God's sake.
And I thought,
how do they think he's going to lose 20 pounds?
And our football coach just completely gave up on him. He would not help him. And so we continued to do the football exercises at home, along with I got him the Wii Fitness.
Oh, good. Okay.
and the Wii Biggest Loser games, and I've got all of your exercise videos, and I try and do them with him.
I wouldn't give him those. He's not going to dig those. Those are, he's probably not going
to. He actually likes them better than any of them.
Well, there you go. I underestimate my own talents.
He loves.
Oh, okay.
But he's just, I mean, his dad was kind of overweight as a child, but diabetes runs in his dad's side of the family.
Okay.
And his dad wasn't diabetic, but his dad died in a wreck in his 20s, so, you know, we didn't really have a chance to see how far that was going to go, if he developed diabetes or not.
Okay. Well, buddy, I mean, so hold on. So we got an 11-year-old that lost his dad.
Mm-hmm.
That was in a severe injury where he experienced brain trauma. And, I mean, that's, the kid's, you know, he's got some stuff going on right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and then, I'm sure he's getting picked on in school, because I was an overweight kid. Are they picking on him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gotten really bad, and he starts junior high this year. So wanted to, like, give him that extra boost and, you know, try and drop some of the pounds to where he felt a little better about himself.
Okay. This is a personal question that you don't have to answer, but what are your finances like? Do you have financial resources to attempt extracurricular activities?
We're not really financially able to do a lot that they offer, but like certain sports and stuff that they've offered, his doctor won't even let him participate now.
Forget that, you need to put aside. So for example, what I'm talking about is, okay, first of all, I want you to be real careful how you convey to him that there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's like, we got to get weight off you, unconsciously in his mind, he is going to interpret that. And I say this because I've been there, and I've worked with a million kids who've been there. They hear that as, we got to fix you, you're broken, I'm embarrassed of you, And even though you're just like, I'm his mom, I'm trying to help him, and, you know, you don't know what to do, and you're feeling helpless, he's going to interpret that in a different way. So
yeah.
You cannot make an issue of his weight. It's just about getting healthy. It's not about, okay, do you really want to eat that, or we don't get to eat that, or you need to move your body because you need to lose weight. None of that. It's just what's in the house is in the house. You know, you remove the junk food from the house. It's not a commentary. The whole household's getting healthy, period. It's just good for you food. It's not about his weight. It's not about him in particular. He's not alienated or ostracized indirectly in any way. Does that make sense? So it's like, he's not a problem, and he won't, by the way, then interpret himself as a problem. He'll feel lovable no matter what. He won't rebel against you later in life being like, you don't love me, overweight, watch this, and get up to 400 or 500 pounds. So that's something you got to be real careful of, is how you approach this. Now, obviously this kid is getting in more calories somehow. You better figure out how. I don't know what's going on, but he, to gain 15 pounds in 2 months, he's finding calories. I don't know if they're at school. I don't know what it is, but maybe you pack his lunch. He doesn't go to school with money, and you just make it like, school food's junk. I want you eating healthy food, period. You know, I love you. I want to make your lunch because mommy loves you and wants to make sure that she's still a part of your whatever. You know, it's not about his weight. You find a way to do it, but you pack his lunch. He doesn't need to go to school with money where he can buy potato boats and pizza and French fries and crap, because you better find, without, you know, grilling him or what have you, find out where these extra calories are coming from, because they're coming from somewhere. And at 11, mm-hmm. I don't know where he's getting it. So remove it from the house, serve up the meals, have healthy snacks. You got to stop the calories coming in. He's getting it from somewhere. That's a big part of your problem. You can control that indirectly. So again, it's not about berating him, but it's like, he doesn't have the money to buy junk food or whatever. Don't give it to him. And mm-hmm. make sure there's not crap in the house that he can get a hold of and binge after school. Because after school, he used to come home and order a Domino's pizza and sit on the roof and eat it. And I don't even know where I got that money from. I think it must have been my allowance, or I would wash a car and get $5. I don't know what. Be careful with that. Control his access to that crappy food. Then if you can, if there's any way to like a soccer league or martial arts or something where he can be in an environment where he can have a male role model. He can be surrounded by people that are positive. He can do a sport that's going to boost his self-esteem. He can make a big difference. And I don't know, maybe there's a YMCA that offers community classes, but he's got to be in some sort of activity that he enjoys. It could be a bicycle even that he rides around the neighborhood or a skateboard or whatever. But usually group activities for kids are really good for their social skills, for their self-esteem. And if there's like a male role model that can really get behind him and believe in him, it can help. It can make a big difference. It did for me, you know, having an outside role model, not just my mom, an adult, whether it's a teacher at school, even a PE teacher at school or a soccer coach, a basketball coach, but really see if you can find an outlet for him where he can do a little male bonding. He can be around kids that aren't going to be, that aren't going to bully him. He can enjoy the social atmosphere. And yeah, he's not going to feel great for a while. It's going to take a little bit of time, but it doesn't mean we stop getting him athletic. That just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. That's the problem.
I contacted his one doctor, and the only thing that they wanted to do was put him on Weight Watchers. And they had us going to the meetings, but he couldn't understand it, and then his insurance wouldn't pay for it anymore.
No, kids don't need to go to Weight Watchers meetings.
It was too complicated for him. And
no,
I was doing everything for me and him both, because whenever I restrict his eating, I do the same for me.
That's perfect.
He doesn't feel bad.
But you do it. He doesn't need to go to Weight Watchers.
No. I thought it was crazy. I was like, what are we doing? But then they told me there was a weight clinic in a nearby town.
No, listen to me. This is going to be grist for his therapy meal when he is 30. I am telling you, just start feeding that kid healthy food. Limit his ability to buy garbage food. It's not about going to Weight Watchers. Don't take him to a clinic right now. Just start feeding him healthy food. Start feeding him what you're eating. Don't make it about his weight. Drop the weight issue. Don't bring up the weight issue ever again. Find a sport that he likes and look for resources that you can get him into, an activity or a sport that he's going to enjoy, that's going to authentically get him more active in an environment where he can build his self-esteem. Stop the clinical stuff. Stop no taking him to meetings. Stop talking about his weight. Stop making it about his weight. Just change the food. Period. Change the food, make it about you, make it about the family, and get him into an activity that he will love or he'll enjoy, and keep pushing. I don't care if it's taking him to the Y and taking him swimming. I don't know what it is. I don't know what you can afford, but you've got to find a way, whether it's video games on the Wii Connect or whatever. You get that kid moving in a playful, fun, social way.
Okay.
That's it. Don't do anything else. Try that for a month. Call me back.
Okay.
1 month. Do exactly what I said. Give him 1,400 calories a day. That's it.
Okay.
And keep him moving. Okay?
All right. Will do.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Weight Watchers for an 11-year-old. What kind of doctor does that? Really? Talk about just like not, he's like, there's no money in this for me until the kid gets diabetes and I got to amputate his leg. So, you know what? How do I get you off my phone? Take him to Weight Watchers.
That's a good idea.
I think that's all we got time for today.
It is.
You're chomping at the bit trying to race out of here.
I got stuff to do today.
You want to get to the slots?
I'm going to get to the slots.
Yeah. All right.
Me.
Guys, have a wonderful day.
Peace.
I was dreaming when I wrote this. Forgive me if it goes astray.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me. takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.